Authenticity is around the experience. Is my interaction honest, respectful, and transparent? So, and there are two completely dimensions of authenticity. AI definitely undermined the first one. So, again, hyper-realistic avatars can shake our worlds if they can use human-like voice or human-like personality. Even the more sophisticated one, they have like computer vision and they have some sentiment analysis, but they definitely can improve the second type of authenticity, because if an AI avatar gives me a clear answer in seconds, instead of making me wait 40 minutes on hold, that's more authentic experience for me as a customer.
Hi, and welcome to Same Old Convo. I'm Michal Asman, your host and a global marketing leader. Today we have with us Tomer Zucker, ex-VP marketing in tech companies such as Microsoft and IBM, and now founder of Pave Your Way. Tomer, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you here.
It's great to be here for the second time. So thank you so much for inviting me. It's always exciting, and looking forward for our talk today.
Yeah. So before we'll dive into today's topic, which is AI and avatars, I would love to hear a bit. What have you been keeping you busy lately since the last time that we spoke?
Yeah. So it has been a few weeks, very intense few weeks, even more than that. With my business, Pave Your Way, I'm delivering consultancy for mainly for startups, founders and CMO around the go-to-market and also adoption of AI. So for, you know, recently I really into that, how to help go-to-market and marketing manager especially to adopt AI, but not from the perspective of adding another tool, but reshaping even the customer experience and the way AI can really help to make a marketing department more efficient and ready for 2026. So this is something like I'm seeing on a daily basis. It's out of our topic today, but just for you know, for the sake of our viewers, many marketing department now are restructuring the nature and reshaping the relationship between marketing managers and AI tools and AI agents and AI avatars, which is part of our discussion today. Sorry. So let's interlock all the topics. So I'm seeing now a trend in the market about moving from the hype curve into real use cases where AI agents and AI tools can help marketing managers. And this is something that is really, really exciting.
Yeah, I think that now we're actually really understanding the impact of this evolution, right? So it's not just the individual adoption. It's much more the organizational level. And I've also started, you know, like to see different use cases of how to implement AI in the organization. And I think that what you're doing currently is extremely interesting and also extremely innovative.
Yeah, thank you. It's I think it's almost like rationalization, realization of the capabilities of AI, its boundaries, its weaknesses, and what its real added value for us, for marketing managers and other go-to-market experts. I believe that, you know, those organizations and professionals that were invested heavily in AI for the last 3 years are moving away from this romantic, you know, perspective about AI to something that is more tangible and something that is more, you know, we are looking on AI from a very functional perspective or functional prism, rather than as like one silver bullet that can help us to solve the world issues, which it doesn't, you know, in the end. Not yet.
Yeah. So with that in mind, would you mind if we talk a bit about AI avatars?
Yeah, definitely.
So maybe for our audience, maybe they're not quite sure what is an AI avatar. Would you care to explain a bit? What does it mean and how does it function?
Yeah, sure. Maybe, you know, for setting like the stage, my recent role as a VP marketing of DID, I had the privilege to work mainly around this domain, AI avatars, because DID is one of the leading providers of AI-based avatars. And we have few types of avatars, so I definitely know that by heart. And it's a very exciting domain, to be honest. And we are in a very early stage about mass adoption of AI in organization. But in the end, there are, I would say, like two main type of AI avatars. We have the AI video avatars, which means are digital personas that mimic human behaviors. They can based on a photorealistic image. They can based on, I would say, like fictional image, like generated image. They can be based on video. But once you create the avatar, you have this kind of platform that you can inject to the avatar any type of script, and the combination between the image or the video with the script with the lip sync, you get a talking avatar. They can speak in more than 100 languages, and think about all the use cases where in the old world you had to take like a shooting crew, whatever, take videos, recorders and lightning and all the hassle around that, spend a lot of time and money, and now you can create your own arsenal of avatars and control their pitch, and you can play with that for, you know, all purposes of marketing and learning purposes. We can dive into that later on. So this is one type of avatars. The second type of avatars, which for me at least is more interesting, are those interactive avatars. It means that you can create the same avatar like the first type, but in this case they can converse in real time. You can train those avatars on a data domain, a specific data domain. They are not script in that sense, and you can converse with them using your own voice, and they can reply to you using their own voice, and they are doing that almost in real time. So there is a latency of 1 second, 2 seconds, but in the end, the experience is almost like talking to a real human being. You can clone your voice. You can train them on your own personality and your tone of voice. And yeah, I know how it sounds. You can place them on your website, on your app, whatever, and you can allow people to converse with your avatars. And you, as like a business owner or a brand, can get some analytics about the discussions or the sentiment of the discussions, not by persona, obviously, because of the privacy, but from aggregated perspective, which type of questions people ask avatars, or which type of sentiment do you have to your brand. So you can collect a lot of interesting information and data, and then generate some insights to improve your messaging, for instance, or the engagement you have with your target audiences. So these are the main two types of avatars that we have seen now in the market. And in terms of verticals or industry, to be honest, it can be placed all over. Think about retail, like a personal shopper that can, you know, help you picking the right item in the webs on the commerce website, or yeah, healthcare, someone that can converse with you, maybe to give you some like first aid and consultancy, and obviously education and customer support, and you know, I can go on and on and on. It's I think it's only limited to the human imagination, to be honest, and the technology constraints, but it's mainly for the human imagination what you can do with that.
Yeah, it sounds very impressive. My first reaction is, oh my god, this is spooky.
I saw your face. I saw your face. Yeah.
But then my second question around that will be, how do the users react to it? I mean, is that the engagement, you talked about sentiment, you talked about engagement. How does that actually work, especially when our topic is AI and authenticity? So do they know that they're speaking with an avatar? Is that part of the gimmick, or is it more kind of like, no?
It's a good question, because I think at this stage, many of the use cases are placing or using those avatars as a gimmick, marketing gimmick, because it's really surprising and, you know, disturbing the way we communicate with technology or with their app. You know, there is like a human face layer on top of that. But I think it's also a matter of maturity of the market. So we will see more and more like hardcore use cases where there is the meaning for human-like face in the dialogue of with the users. We can expand on that. But I think, to be honest, you know, if I'm zooming out, it's a new form of communication between us human being and with brands. Because currently most of the communication are one directional communication. So you have the brand, you have the website, you have the social media account, handler, whatever. And then you have the big brand that communicate with its audience. And now you almost like have a new option to create a dialogue. And it's not like a script dialogue. It's AI based dialogue. It's like machine learning, technology that can learn the sentiment and the vibe and the taxonomy of the user and adjust the conversation to that, and again under the constraints of the voice of the brand or the brand book on whatever you can trim that, but it's a new form of communication between us users and brands or through technology. So when you speak with an avatar, and if they look like artificial, I think it's fine, because, you know, it's a very open game, I would say. You know you'd speak with the artificial creature. I think the confusion can come if this avatar looks like a real person and you don't disclose that. Okay, so you can, you know, it's a different experience, right? And you don't want to go to this direction. I think this is one of the main, I would say, like strong recommendation from my end, is once you use AI, just disclose that so people will not, be scared, as you mentioned, or even feel that someone is trying to trick them or to manipulate them, because at this stage, most of the technologies of avatars, you will identify that they are synthetic, figures in most cases, not all of them. But with the progress of technology, and we are there, to be honest, it's really up to the type of technology, it will be even impossible to identify if it's a real person in front of you or it's an AI avatar. And it's going to be more and more challenging. So I think we need to create this kind, it's a big word, okay, but AI avatar manifesto or AI manifesto, something that is almost like a worldwide standard, how to use AI in most responsible way. And because this type of technology, the AI avatars, it's much more advanced than generated images or even generated video, because again, you can clone your voice, you can train them on your personality, on your biography, on your whatever you want, and they can converse with you in real time. It's much more sophisticated, and with this type of sophistication, you need to even set to yourself some constraints or boundaries or manifesto, as I mentioned, so everybody will feel confidence to use the technology.
Yeah. It sounds as if there should be placed a lot of rules and regulations. I'm not quite sure how much governments are, working on that at the moment. It doesn't feel like it. But yes, I 100% agree with you. One thing that I did want to mention is that you haven't talked about that, but AI influencers, right? And especially in Instagram, this whole kind of like experience, I recently found out about an account. It's called AI Tana. It's about a girl, I think, I'm not quite sure if she's from Portugal or Brazil, but she's a fitness marketing influencer. Yeah, as if she's a person. And the funny thing, yeah, she has already 375K followers. So that's quite a lot. And also engagement. And she's traveling, quote unquote. I mean, she's having lunch and she's fresh. She's going to the beach. And I'm kind of like, on the one hand, I'm an observer because I wanted also to see how I'll react to that. Because you can see that it's not a real human. Of course, as you said, it's not really there. But on the other hand, I was thinking to myself, okay, she's a fitness influencer. I mean, we can never meet that type of expectation, you know? So it's kind of like also when we talk about authenticity, I mean, that is far from being authentic. So this whole world of influencer or the creator economy will also shift because that could easily be a guy who created AI Tana and he's controlling, quote unquote, her life. So yeah, happy to hear your thoughts about that authenticity.
I think first of all, you know, with those figures, the masses of people that follow an avatar that everybody knows she's an avatar, she's not a real fitness guru. I think it also it's almost like reflecting what we discussed a few minutes ago, that people get used to new type of relationship. So they know it's artificial figure, but still they feel this kind of a level of confidence to follow her. And I think this kind of, it means that we can form bonds between non-human figures and humans. It's almost like science fiction, but it's like a true evidence. It happens.
Yeah.
So I think one of the reasons for that is that if I don't mistake, she post on a regular basis, so
yeah,
it's a very reactive. it's not like a gimmick, it's a very consistent way of communication. Her aesthetic is very coherent and the storytelling is very clear, so I think it's almost like creating this sense of familiarity between her and her follower, followers, and it's almost like a joke, but she's always there. She doesn't go to sleep, right? She's available 24/7. So it's very interesting to see this type of relationship between us human beings and AI avatars. Now, the story with AI avatars as influencers have started many, many years ago. I think almost like a decade ago.
Yeah.
They were based not on AI, on CGI. It's like the former, you know, graphical technology. They were not smart. They were not intelligent. But it's almost like even funny to see the evolution not of human beings, but of avatars, right?
True.
And now think how avatars will look like 5 years from now. I have my own, you know, projection, but think about what we have went through the last 10 years, and now you have influencers that running millions of dollars on a daily, on a annual basis, whatever, and create a lot of, you know, like a significant business to their operators or to the brand. So I think it's a very good example, and it's a growing trend. I had a few months ago a very interesting discussion with the leading model, and she wanted to create the avatars of herself that can speak in multiple languages because she wanted to reach out to her fans and followers across the globe using their own local language. Think about the impact on the engagement rate from a marketing perspective. So
yeah.
Now you have a lot of other possibilities. On the other hand, what will say the real human beings, the real models, the real presenters, the real influencers, that an AI avatar steal their job, you know? So it's more complicated than we see in the first sight.
No, and I 100% agree. And I wanted to touch upon that. But before we move into the ethics and where exactly should we as marketeers also should draw the line, I would love to ask you the question, how does it all resonate with the with the term authenticity, right? Because also in the previous episode that we recorded together, we talked a lot about, you know, LinkedIn and LinkedIn presence and being authentic on LinkedIn and this whole movement also of founder-led thought leadership, right? So people want to interact with the people behind the brand. They want to see that we are human. So it's almost as if, it's a contradiction of two trends that are emerging.
Let's try to solve that. By the way, there is like mixed impacts because, and again, maybe I'm running too fast with that, but there is a growing demand for the concept of marketing, founder-led marketing, because of the lack of authenticity, because of the mass content that is being generated by AI, and now we are like moving back to more like human, the real human voices. But going back to the authenticity question, I think we can look on two different type of authenticity. We can talk about the source of authenticity, which is this a real human being or AI avatar? So about the persona. And the second authenticity is around the experience. Is my interaction honest, respectful, and transparent? So, and there are two completely dimensions of authenticity. So AI definitely undermine the first one. So again, hyper-realistic avatars can shake our worlds if they can use human-like voice or human-like personality. They can, by the way, they can even, the more sophisticated one, they have like computer vision and they have some sentiment analysis. So
wow, wait crazy, with
me.
Crazy.
Wait few seconds. Wait for a few minutes with me. But they definitely can improve the second type of authenticity, because if an AI avatar gives me a clear answer in seconds, instead of making me wait 40 minutes on hold, that's more authentic experience for me as a customer. So again, I think that the winning formula is be transparent about the source. Is this like a real human being or not? And deliver truly valuable experience. I think in that way, the customer gets the best of two worlds. So we can mix with that. So I will get a super authentic experience as a user, and still I will talk with an avatar. So the challenge is to find those sweet spots. When I prefer to speak with a real human being, and when I can compromise and speak with an AI, when I'm getting like a real value from human being, and when I would prefer to speak with a machine, okay? So it's almost like a matrix, and you need to find the right combination. And from a business point of view, that this is like the challenge and this is like the opportunity, because once you find those niche use cases where people prefer to speak with an avatar, or they're not really care if they speak with an AI avatar or a human being, but still AI avatar can bring them real value, this is your niche.
Yeah, thank you very much for clarifying that, because I was thinking to myself now, you know, during our conversation, that if I'm speaking with an AI, like, I'm fine with it. I just want to acknowledge that. As you said, I don't want anyone to fool me to think that, oh, this is actually a real person behind the screen, but they're not. So
definitely. I think the keyword here is trust. You want to trust. It's always, you know, again, we as human being always, it's something that is wired within us during the evolution. We just, you know, it's like a fight or flight scenario. Can I trust this person? Can I trust this brand? So with the human influencer, the question, do I trust this person? And with an avatar, a virtual one, the question is quite different. It's like, do I trust the brand behind the avatar?
Okay? Exactly.
And
yeah,
you can fool someone only once. And I think the upside of is like full, you know, using avatar, the upside is full brand control over the message, something that can be hard with human influencers. And we have many, you know, examples in the market when human presenters and influencers did some wrong things and how it impact the brand. So you can control the voice with the avatar, obviously. the downside is the lack of real like credibility. So this is the reason that you need to disclose the fact that you're using an avatar. It's even more critical, I would say. So make it very explicit that this is like a synthetic figure, and if it's sponsored, you know, like there is a brand behind that, say that in the most clear way. And I think without that, without this kind of openness, trust will collapse very, very quickly. And you don't want that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to fool your followers. You don't want to fool your user and customers. We need to, again, to reshape the type of connection and communication between us and the users when we use AI for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very insightful and interesting. I will need to unpack it with myself later after our conversation.
You can speak with my avatar afterwards. No problem.
No problem. I wanted also to ask you a bit about the ethics, right? So when does a marketeer, you know, when us as marketeer also should know, okay, this is already starting to not be ethical or a bit more to the dark side. What are kind of like the limits or boundaries that we should keep in mind?
I think if I got you correctly, I think first of all, anything that is related to ethic, I think at this stage is not something that is being regulated. So
true.
It's almost like technology is much more advanced than the regulation and the law, and much more advanced than the biology. So there is like a growing gap between the those three vectors. You have the technology, you have regulation and ethics, and you have biology. We have us human beings, and it looks like during the last few years there is a huge progress and advancement from the vector of technology, but the regulation is lagging behind and biology is way lagging behind. Because, you know, we need a few tens of thousands, even 100,000 of words to adjust to the new form of technology. And again, it's going back to the beginning of our discussion, how we can adjust ourselves to a new form of communication. So I think ethics in that sense can try artificially close those gaps. And if it's not coming from, you know, from the country or from the EU, whatever, you need to set your own boundaries. You need to set your own disclaimers how to use this technology in the most ethical way. If you use AI, just say that, okay? If you're going to use someone's image to generate photo, ask their consent. And the same with voice. And the same with videos, because now we are living in a digital savvy world. Everyone is being recorded 24/7. It's really easy to create an avatar of you, Michal. I have your video, you're out there, you're recording podcast, I can sample your voice, I can track your post and try to figure out your personality, and I create a duplicated Michal. How fun is it? Right?
I have to be honest and say that that is where things get scary, if you ask me. I mean,
it can be scary. I mean, you know,
it can be scary, and the technology is there. You are true.
The technology is there. The question is, who controls the wheel? You know, who controls the wheel? This is like the big question, and you want good guys to control the wheel and not the bad guys.
100% agree.
Yeah. I think in the end, I think it's like a combination. You know, when I'm trying to think about those use cases when I prefer to use a avatar. I think it's a, or human being. I think we need to create this kind of calculation between the risk, the emotion layer, and also like the story. So think about the combination of those three. In a very sensitive industries or use cases, think about healthcare, think about finance, think about highly regulated data. I wouldn't choose avatar for that. Okay, I would use human. Anything that is related to emotions, I think it's tricky, because we know that one of the most common use cases using ChatGPT and other tools are the emotional discussions.
Like,
okay,
a therapist or a coach.
Exactly.
There are already, by the way, tools to create your own, you know, AI digital twin as a coach, for example.
Exactly.
For people
exactly.
who coach people.
So it's a growing domain. So I think in high sensitive scenarios and crises, whatever, I think people still will prefer to use to speak with a human, real human being. But in those urgent, you know, first aid use cases, hey, I need to consult with you about my friend, I need to consult with you about this colleague, whatever, or depression or whatever, I need an immediate answer. And they know our history, you know, they are being trained, they can help us. So I think it's like a tricky scenario. And the third dimension is about the story. So if the story relies on lived experience of a founder, you mentioned founder-led marketing. So think about if the story is relied on the lived experience of the founder journey or a customer case study, whatever, something that is more need more a higher layer of authenticity, I think I would use human. But if it's more like service-oriented, like FAQs or demo and onboarding, I think synthetic media can do that perfectly, because they are scalable. That's really, you know, in terms of time to market and cost, it's really to use them. And again, I think about the mix and match. When to use real human beings, when to use AI avatars, like with the face, and emotions and whatever, and when we can use AI agents, like faceless agent, because there are some use cases when I don't really happy to see other, you know, people faces. Maybe it's only me, but in some use cases I prefer like a textual message, or
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Like, I'm thinking about a taxi service or Volt, or you know, like, I'm like, where is my delivery? Okay, I don't need to see. Yeah, I just need
there is no really added value of having someone's face. It's even like damaged the experience. So it like add another layer of complexity of us as marketing managers, how to create the engagement system between us, the brand, and our user and customers. Now we have more tools to play with. We have real people, we have avatars, we have agents, we have voice agents. We can play with that and find the right optimization in terms of the experience, but also with the cost. So one of the things that we are doing when we are deploying AI agents and AI tools in organization is to create this kind of discovery workshop, when you can identify those use cases where there is a real added value for using AI or AI agents versus old school automation or human beings or anything of manual work. Now it's important because in some cases, you don't need this type of technology. And in other use cases, the technology is too expensive for you. So you have like a cheaper alternative that are good enough. So again, think about the optimization of all of those type of technologies and how you can create a framework that is like a hybrid framework, AI plus human beings.
Yeah, I like that. I think that it really makes sense. And that way you also, you know, I think that there is something cool with, you know, brands that are already very innovative and trying to create cool things and things that are irregular, right? So also to cut the noise. But then I like also the balance with keeping things authentic. And as you said, also with when should you use a human, when should you not, and keeping the balance in the right way.
Yeah, and I think going back just to close the loop regarding the ethical line, my recommendation for brands is fake experiences never happened, you know, whatever. Don't, you know, create this kind of fake, because again, it's really you have only one shot to fool someone else. And the consent about the voice and the image and the video is super, super important, because it's more approachable. It's really easy to take someone photo, whatever. and try to be transparent with the use. I think people respect that, and people are really okay of using AI and speak with AI avatars once they know it's an AI avatars. So it's part, and it's part of, I think it's also, you know, from the brand perspective, it's part of your values as a brand. So if you are, you know, preaching for authenticity and be honest, whatever, you cannot fool someone else, right? Okay.
100% agree. Yeah. Yeah. So it ties back also to the first episode that we recorded together about the how to create also personal branding and how to create brand values. Yeah. Tomel, I had a pleasure having you again. Time flies when you're having wow. fun. So I will say thank you very much for this very interesting topic. And yeah.
Next time you should speak with my avatar. I'm seriously around that.
You do have an avatar?
I do have an avatar. I'm not using that all the time, but I created an avatar of myself, and I'm trying to find the right scenarios when he can really help me, you know. But I'm testing the technology all the time. Really fun.
Interesting. Send the link over. I would love to see it.
if you hear a knock on your door, don't open.
Thank you very much, Thomas.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of CMO Convo. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a rating and review on your preferred platform. Don't forget to tune in next week for another insightful conversation with a leading CMO.